Welcome to Behind the Bite, where we delve deep into the real-life struggles and triumphs surrounding food, body, and weight. I'm Dr. Christina Castagnini, a psychologist and certified eating disorder specialist, bringing you a unique blend of personal experience as a recovered individual with over 25 years of professional expertise. In each episode, we'll share the courageous journeys of individuals who have faced these challenges firsthand, alongside insights from dedicated professionals in the field. Whether you're seeking healing, inspiration, or simply a deeper understanding, this podcast is here to empower you on your own path to a better life. Join us as we explore stories of resilience, discuss the latest insights, and strive to foster a community of support and growth. Together, we can break down barriers, challenge stigma, and pave the way towards healing and living authentically. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I have a real treat for you. So I want to ask you, what do you think of when you hear the word joy? Because I think it gets thrown around a lot, and maybe it feels a little bit out of reach to feel that on a day-to-day basis if you're thinking about it as an emotion. Maybe you have your own idea about it going into today's show. But today's guest, she's here to flip that idea about whatever you're thinking about it on its head. So what if I told you that joy isn't something that you chase, but something you already have, something that's already in you, waiting to be something that, you know, you can access. Well, today I'm joined by Cheryl Lynn. She's the founder of Joyly. It's a global lifestyle brand, and she is the co-creator of Joy Intelligence Framework. She's a speaker, innovator, and mother who's on a mission to help people stop performing for happiness and instead build a life that prioritizes emotional well-being through something she calls joy intelligence. And trust me, you've never heard a joy explained like this before. From her journey through trauma and dysfunction to helping people and even companies like Amazon transform their emotional cultures, she walks us through what joy actually is. Spoiler, it's not just happiness. The 25 misconceptions that keep us from accessing it, and how a deceptively simple tool, the Chair of Joy, can literally shift your nervous system in just minutes. So today we're also going to talk about why joy is a core life skill, how it differs from happiness and toxic positivity, and how learning to sit, breathe, think, and feel can change everything. So whether you're in a boardroom, a therapy session, or sitting with your morning coffee, I want you to just sit back and relax, because if you're feeling burned out, disconnected, or just going through the motions, this episode might just help you find your way back to yourself. So if you're ready, let's go dive in. All right, Cheryl Lynn, welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Dr. Christina.
I'm excited. I know we've communicated off and on, but this is the first time we're really sitting down and having a conversation. And for people who don't know you, would you mind just talking a little bit about yourself, your background, and what Joyly is?
Thank you for asking. I think I love to bring my hopefully relevant and personal story that I think people identify with, which is really based in trauma and tragedy and dysfunction and abandonment and all of the things for so long. And so at the end of the day, my entire life is spent on what is that thing that everyone has that, or I thought they have or seems like they have through social media, and how do I get it and how do I keep it? And the answer is I couldn't find it. And so basically my life has been about searching. So I've moved many times. I've had several businesses, including real estate. I have another company where we do food and beverage to large grocery chains across the world. And so everything I've done has made me more curious. Why is there mediocrity? Why do people settle? And what do people really hope for?
Amazing. So quite a background. And I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate to having difficulties in their life. Was there anything that was like a turning point for you where you decided to make a change in your life for more positive things? Because I know sometimes people can really get bogged down and sit with the what ifs, or why did this happen to me? And they have a struggle moving beyond the traumas and the pains. Was that at all a struggle for you?
That's the reason for Joyly and Joy Intelligence, because hopefully I'll be able to share some of our research with you. But yeah, for decades, I would find myself in pseudo joys, burnout, gambling, eating. When I say gambling, I don't mean like I was addicted, but it was one of those things that you escaped to. We visited Las Vegas from California a lot of times and eating just lots of chocolate. I've been on a yo-yo dieter my whole life. And yeah, so I think that being in what we now call the inactive stage is something that we don't really all even know what that means. And it's exhausting to always be on the treadmill and spinning and spinning and looking. And I personally spent so much money on personal and professional development over the years, and all the tapes and all the books and all the things. And I don't know if it's working for everybody else. To some degrees, I feel like I've improved. But yeah, the turning point for me was, I think after divorce and all of that, I found myself missing my children. He got custody of them, and I was sitting out on the beach, and I remember doing a process very similar to what we do now called the Chair of Joy. And there was this just incredible movement in my body. And I was sitting on the beach, the seagulls were going over my head, and I heard the waves and the lapping in the ocean and all the things. And I just took a deep breath and I just let it all wash out into the ocean and just sat there quietly in stillness and didn't make my brain go a million miles an hour. So I could hear, right, the stillness. So that was really the beginning of Joyly. And so what happened then, very shortly after that, in fact, that and within 2 hours, I got a phone call from my honey who was frantically looking for me and said that I needed to call home or call back to my ex-husband's house. And basically, his wife said that the kids were needed to come and that there was trouble and they gave up and I should come over and pick them up. So that was the end of the story. And I got my, you know, something that I had been dreaming of and hoping for about 3 years. So that was really the shift when like, when stuff starts to happen like that over and over again, you wonder what was that? So at the end of the day, it became about neuroscience. And so we can talk all about that for a long time, but that, if to answer your question, that would be the turning point for me.
Okay. So Joyly, can we talk a little bit more about this? It sounds like you said that was the start of it. So what, for people who don't know, they're hearing this, and what is it? Is it a program? Is it a course? Is it a mindset? Could you describe it for people who are maybe going, what is this you're talking about?
Yes and yes. It's all of that. And more importantly, I think what I wanted to do was develop a community, a lifestyle. So Joyly is really a lifestyle brand. And I spent a long time making sure that the word was something that was different and unique, and it really resonated with people so that when they hear it again, I wear a lot of yellow. I invite people to bring color into the conversation. I worked really hard to make it gender neutral. So yes, we have programs, we have classes and online and virtual. And over the last 6 years, Joyly has progressed from just me figuring it out and doing what we were talking about earlier, which was the Chair of Joy experience all over the world. 30,000 people have gone through the experience, but now it's come into a new evolution around our IP. So my daughter from Nike and large corporations has come in and joined the team with her data analytic mind and brought an understanding about what we do with emotions. So like we talked about earlier, it's not toxic positivity and masking. That's not what joy is, or joy intelligence. Joy intelligence is making sure that people can understand that we all have different levels of it. And it's just whether or not we prioritize it. That's what we do at Joyly. We just basically over and over again, celebrate people for who they are and invite them into the conversation of joy intelligence.
Do you find that when you first start, say you go in, I'm assuming you go into corporations sometimes and work, do you find that oftentimes people aren't tapped into their emotion of joy, or that it's really hard for them to grasp that concept of making it a priority?
Oh my gosh, yes. So if you go on our website, there's 25 misconceptions of joy. And so there are so many reasons why people don't understand why we're doing what we're doing, because it's joy. It's that thing. It's over there, right? And so why are we spending a lifetime of research? And it took a hot minute to build this. Like, we're not, you know, this really was starting from scratch. So I've been in research mode for years and years. But yeah, at the end of the day, if you read 25 misconceptions of joy on our website, you will find that we are all born with joy. It's not spreading joy to others, because it's like butter. Like, you have your own butter, right? And you like your butter and your truffle, or maybe you don't like butter at all. Do you like butter? You do. So would you agree that maybe some people don't?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's the same thing with joy. Like, I think that I have my joy and you have your joy and the politicians have theirs and all the people have different kinds. And so I think what we have to understand is we don't spread joy upon others. We just claim it and sustain it and maintain it. So yeah, no one can steal our joy. We were born with it. We always have it. We get to decide whether or not we want to reclaim it every day or prioritize it. It can be stuffed under the counter, but yeah, it's pretty exciting when people realize, okay, it's not just at Christmas time and it's not soft and fluffy. So what we teach is that joy is a core life skill. It's not an emotion. And maybe if we could share my screen a little bit later, I can share a little bit more about what that means.
Yeah, because I would imagine people are maybe even confused about how is it not an emotion, right? People say, I felt joy. How is it not an emotion, Sherilyn?
So if you go to our website, there's a whole page around JQ and what that means. But at the very core of ourselves as human beings, it's if you look at the 1990s research, I think it's what's his name, Dr. Alan Shore. He's right here. He's joy is not a choice, right? I don't get to choose whether I wake up in the morning if I'm joyful or not. What I get to choose is if I'm going to prioritize joy. And we have basically said that there are three elements of prioritizing joy and having access to it. And those are safety, presence, and joy, and in that order. So if you don't feel safe, how do you get to any other feeling? If it's fight, flight, or freeze, where is safety? There is none of it. And there's definitely not joy. And then if there's presence, which is the next step, and how can we actually sit still like I did in the chair when I was on the beach? It's, oh gosh, there's actually something going around, or I'm feeling like I want to eat chocolate, or I feel like I'm in this anger. I'm aware, right? Presence gets us to some ability to access our joy. And then the third step is joy. So we can just know this. Joy is underneath of the suffering and the trauma and the sadness and the anger and the hurt and the pain and the blame and the guilt and the shame and the love and the gratitude and the peace. So joy isn't even on the emotions map that we created. And it's called the Joyly or the Joy Intelligence Emotions Map. Joy is the yellow underneath it. If you actually look at the map, you can see that it's not an emotion. It's a level of skill that each of us have. So does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what people listening might be wondering, like, what's the difference between like joy and happiness? Because I'm even thinking of the movie Inside Out, right? There was that character Joy, one of the five main emotions. And so like even thinking on a simplistic level, like how do you differentiate between like happiness and joy?
Yeah. Do you differentiate it? I'm just curious if there's a level of understanding for that for you.
As I'm thinking about it now, I think there's nuances to emotions anyway, right? Like when we talk about elated, excited. So I think even there's different levels of happiness, right? I could be happy, I could be content, I could be peaceful. There's just a spectrum, I think, too. Joyful seems a little bit more like a different type of happy in a sense.
Absolutely. I have to share my screen because I think that hopefully you'll share this. I know this is audio, but for those of you that haven't seen the Joyly Emotions Map, I think what Dr. Christina is asking is a really important and a solid question when it comes to being clear about our emotions. And whenever I have an opportunity to get clear, sorry about that. Whenever I have an opportunity to get clear with people on this, even if it's for just for a second, I think we need to take the time. So this is what I learned over the years, that these emotions maps are really decades old. So this is the Dr. David Hawkins. Are you familiar? This one. So shame and guilt and apathy and grief are all at the bottom, right? And so I always thought, well, if I'm at the bottom, then how do I get to the top? And when I get to the top, does that mean I can't go to the bottom? And so even in corporations, the question is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling? And usually when someone says, how are you doing? It's, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm glad. That's our vocabulary. So what we've taken people to is this ability to understand that happy, to answer your question. So there's four stages: inactive, awareness, reflection, and expansion on our new map. So you can see that happy is over here. It's in the reflection stage. Just all the emotions you said, uplifted, pleased, inclined, calm, devoted, generous, secure, sensitive, right? And it's not really happy that we're after. It's this ability to be reflective. I'm going to be reflective and go, I'm not inactive, which is violated, repulsed, appalled, numb. I'm not in awareness, which is judgmental and offended and apathetic. I'm in reflection, which is all those things, passionate, excited. And so one of the things we like to teach is what if we all had a similar vocabulary and that we could increase our vocabulary around emotions? What would that look like? And so then eventually we want to get to expansion and over these barriers, which is accountability, acceptance, and trust. So basically, all the words you said, like joy, we'll talk about that in a minute, but in the expansion mode, they're successful, grateful, abundant, playful, all the things. And joy, like we said earlier, is the yellow underneath. It's not even on the scale. So that was where I got stuck is like joy is something that I'm aspiring to. Why can't I have it all the time? So happy, if you will, is fleeting and internal, or sorry, external and comes and goes, and joy is internal and always with us. Does that make sense?
So if you're saying joy is always there, are people aware of that, or do they have to do something to like tap into that if it's always there?
They're definitely not aware of it. So that's the evolution. Like I didn't really start out to create a company around joy. I created a conversation around that question. Why do we not know this? And if it's so simple and so it's not simple, that's not the point, but the simplicity is in the understanding of it. So joy is misunderstood based on commercialization, based on politics. People use the word joy in our politics these days. And so it's misunderstood because it's reframed in religion and all the things. And so the answer is never, ever have we been clear about what it means to be in a world where we decide that joy is priority. So we don't find it, we don't spread it, we access it, we sustain it, we prioritize it, and we mostly just help people remember or make sure that it's a conversation in their day. And let me tell you, that sounds like an easy thing to do, but it's too much of the pseudo joy, right? We park our cars in the garages and we do the Netflix or the social media or the doom scroll and all the things. Joy is not a priority, and it's not because we don't want it to be. We simply do not know how.
So what do you find, maybe it's not one big hurdle, what do you find are some of the biggest hindrances for people in finding their joy?
And probably that you don't have to find your joy. That's the number one. That there's nowhere to look. Remember when I told you I sat in the chair? The chair of joy experience is this. It's 4 steps: sit, breathe, think, feel. If you want me to give you the biohack, this is it.
Sure.
So the chair of joy, where is your chair of joy, real quickly? If you had one in your backyard or at the mountain, where would your chair of joy be?
Beach.
Okay, so imagine yourself at the beach, just like I was at the beach. So both of us are sitting, taking a deep breath in. So both of us can take a deep breath in, and our listening audience as well. And just let go of the stress and the worry for just a moment and just be present, be here in the moment, be still. Step three is to think about a moment of joy. So some people can, some people can't. But for you, I'm sure thinking about a moment of joy with family or friends is fairly easy. Am I right? Something that puts a smile on your face. And then step four is to feel that joy in your body. And how you feel joy is to wiggle your toes and let that energy roll up to your knees. Just wiggle your shoulders, your arms, and roll your neck around in a 360, just like that. And the energy actually moves up through your body and you begin to biohack and process through neuroscience, right? Your brain heart coherence. You're letting your brain and your heart connect. And so there's no finding joy, right? We just accessed it. I'm only going to tell you one. There's a gazillion, but that's the biggest one, is we don't need to find our joy. We all know as a human, as a humanity, as a race, as a boss, as a leader, as a parent, as a student, as a young child, especially the children, let's get them to recall right now when they're five, before they get into all the reasons people tell them that they have to follow the rules. And so joy starts to get on the back burner again. So AKA mental health issues and all the things that happen, it's a vicious cycle. So at the end of the day, if we could all just understand as a human race that joy is innate and we don't need to go find it and it's easy to access, we just have to prioritize it.
So companies bring you in. Do they have a goal in mind for like an outcome for having you come in and work with their employees?
So what I love about people is there's a big assumption that we've been doing this forever and that people are signed up the hook, line, and sinker. And the truth is that Joily and Joy Intelligence, really all the IP just came together about 6 months ago. And so thank you for asking. I love that question because it feels like that would be the right thing to do, especially around neurodivergency and DEI and all the things, disabilities, all the things. So much. One of our partners saves Amazon $2.5 million per quarter by using these skills, right? So about not firing someone, getting out of the room because you can't come to a meeting when we need you to, but actually to have a conversation around what's going on. So they don't really, to answer your question, they don't really know what to expect when we come in. But what it is that we're doing is we're culture resetting, right? We're elevating the culture. So to level out the culture. And that's what we tell them we're doing. And we have a lot of programs in the works and a lot of corporations bringing us in on the books. And it's going to be really fun to watch that process unfold as a month goes by and 6 months goes by. And people are going, wait a minute, I have a level of joy intelligence that I'm bringing to this meeting, and it needs to be grounded in safety, presence, and joy. I don't feel safe in this environment, and I'm in the inactive stage, and therefore I can't be in this meeting. And so the other community partners will begin to know, or the staff or associates or whatever, or the parents or the teachers or the therapists can all go, okay, I get it. I hear, I know that language. I can understand it now. And the conversations are going to become a lot easier.
So, do you work with individuals as well? Do you work with like schools? Like, what populations are you bringing in this to?
So we're starting in the professional development. So if you go to our website, you can see on our store, we just created a 80-deck card deck. I don't even have any to show because they're coming on June 1st, I believe. And so,
Fun.
yeah, so really focusing in the professional world, schools is where I want to spend a lot of my time and energy. I think, again, as I said earlier, if children could learn, if students could go to the corner or to the timeout or to the silent place or rest or whatever they do over there, that they actually have something that they can have a good conversation with themselves first, right? Because I believe that joy is personal responsibility. At the end of the day, I need to measure, hopefully, even your clients, right? When it comes to eating disorders and emotional conversations around food, do I feel safe in this environment? If not, it's likely I'm going to go grab a pile of something, pasta, and eat away. As individuals, am I safe? Do I feel safe? And if not, what do I need to do to get safe? Who do I have to ask? Who can I call? How can I settle into this? And then present, do I feel that I can even be aware that I see this food on my plate? Is that even a thing? And if I can, and I'm just going to consume, and I know this because I've done this, I have so many ups and downs, yo-yos, diets over the years. So I know what it's like to eat without thinking. And then is there joy possibly in the fact that I could move that plate of spaghetti and not have it? And so that's what's happened to me. That's over the last 5 years, that's been my number one goal. I haven't gone on a diet or count calories or all the things, but all of a sudden, when I'm aware that I'm safe and present and that joy becomes more important, the food loses its value and I feel great and I feel strong and I feel healthy. And yeah, so that's the difference, I think, the biggest difference, if to answer your question. So yes, for individuals, people from all walks of life can hear this conversation when they're ready. And some will, some won't, and so what, in my lifetime anyway. And I'm excited and thank you for the opportunity to share because it really is one person at a time and one chair of joy at a time.
And you did mention something about other like programs and things like that. So what else can people do if they're not in a corporation that you go and you're working with them? Like, how can people access the
Yep.
work you're doing and learn all
Totally.
about this? Yeah.
So on our website, we have a couple of things. They can go there and grab a text messaging system. And right now it's free. It'll be part of a membership down the way, but you can sign up for free text messaging every day or once a week, whatever feels good for you. And I just send you reminders about that thing, that one thing that you don't need to go find joy, that it's there. So that's free. And then we're just launching a 5-series online class. So just 5 hours. One little bit of chunk at a time, because Christina, the biggest part of this is unlearning what we know about joy. So would you agree that, oh my gosh, I didn't know that this conversation around joy was, first of all, mattered or was important or had this depth to it, right? So that's the class is first of all, you have to unlearn what you already know about joy or what you think you know about joy and move those the reputation about joy. So yeah, the classes, and then we've got retreats coming up. We've got some events coming up. We have individual coaching, and there's one, oh, we have a book coming out called We Built This. So that hopefully will be on the market within the next month or so.
And let's congratulations on the book. Now, what is the book about?
So the book basically takes that image that I showed you and tells the story of its development, where we started, Bailey and I, separate corporate America, Cheryl in her little visionary world, and maybe everyone thought joy was fluffy, or is it a soft skill, or is it a skill? And then Bailey bringing data analysis to it so we can measure safety, presence, and joy, and then bringing that up. So yeah, that's what the book is about. It's the story of the evolution of us sitting down on the carpet and cutting out little pieces of paper and moving all those emotions around and bringing the books and the studies and the research together and the evolution of it. And then there's a good portion of it that is how to. So it's really a story that combines our story as well as the evolution and how to use the Joyly Intelligence Emotions Map.
So you said the website, so people want to know more. Is there, I've looked at it, but can you tell us just basically when people go there, can they get more of an understanding of things? And also, can they access the 5-hour course if they want to take it there?
Joyly.com, and just I would if the first thing I would do is just go to the Chair of Joy page. So it's on the
Okay.
left, scroll under the navigation and click on the Chair of Joy page. And I really think if the whole world could actually find a Chair of Joy and understand the science behind sit, breathe, think, feel, which is on that page, and do that breakfast, morning, lunch, dinner, when you're driving down the road and you're having rage, or when you're about to go into a meeting and you don't feel safe or present about anything that you're about to encounter, or just before you're about to eat something, or all the things, like there's real skill in knowing what your chair of joy is. So that would be my first recommendation.
Fantastic. All right. This has been very eye-opening. And I just, how do you not have a good podcast when you're talking about joy? Any last final words before we end?
No, let me ask you, what was your moment of joy when I asked you to do that? I know we were talking and you were probably listening more for content than doing a chair of joy moment with me. But if you could think of a moment of joy in your last week or present in your moments of life, what would that have been?
So I was having a moment. My son's a big Star Wars fan, and when he was, I think he was about 5, they take little kids and become little Jedis, and he was chosen to go fight Darth Vader, and it was like the best moment. He was so happy. So I was remembering that moment because he was just so excited, and I was so happy for him. So that was my
Aww.
moment. It was like, oh, he's so happy.
How old is he now?
He's 18.
Okay, that was a while back, and that's the memory you had. So that's if
Yeah.
I could leave you with anything or our listening audience today, and thank you, by the way, for having me in and having this exciting conversation, is that those moments that are in our repertoire of memories are the ones that are going to be the solution for us. So we don't need to go spend any more money. We don't need to go find it. We already have it and we just want to prioritize it. And let me just ask everyone listening that if this sounds or resonates to you personally, to try the Chair of Joy, but also invite a friend, sit down over coffee. And when you're doing this next time, bring up the website and go through it. And those 4 steps couldn't be any easier. We worked really hard, believe it or not, for years to take this much information and boil it down to sit, breathe, think, and feel.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I love having you on. It's been a long time coming, so thank you so much.
I really appreciate it. And you have a great day, Dr. Christina.
Thanks, you too. Thank you so much for listening today. Behind the Bite podcast is created by me, Dr. Christina Castanini, as part of the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network and produced by the Tweaky Tales. I love hearing from my listeners. So if you like the show, please like, rate, and subscribe to it on whatever platform you're on. And for anyone who wants to understand their relationship with food better, or who might be wondering if they have an eating disorder, I have a free 9-week e-course at my website. Just go to www.behindthebitepodcast.com to get your free e-course today. Please note, this podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regard to the subject matter covered. It is given with the understanding that neither host, the publisher, or the guests are rendering legal, clinical, or other professional information. If you want or need a professional, you should find one to work with who can address your individual needs and situation. Thank you.